Greetings. It's Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, September 10th, 2023. So tomorrow will be the 22nd anniversary of the operation perpetrated on the people of the world and the United States, of course. So, where to begin? You know, I was out of town last week. I was in a wedding, and I had to humiliate myself by participating in the aviation industry to get there. And I'll tell you, coming back, they tried to send on the way there. I didn't have to opt out of the barbecue scanner. My plane flew out of St. Louis about 6 in the morning at Friday of Labor Day weekend, and the airport was just crammed with people catching flights. And so I guess due to the just overwhelming numbers, they turned off the barbecue scanners and just waved people through the metal detectors, and had this, you know, goofy ritual of taking your shoes off and all that stuff, and sending your carry-on bags through the x-ray machines and so forth. What a mess. Thanks to all those false flags, underwear bomber, shoe bomber, and all that stuff, for those of you that can remember that far back, causing all of this craziness. So many observations due to the fact that it's been so long since I've flown anywhere, basically because I was almost in kind of a protest fashion, just not wanting to travel by air due to the horror stories through my reading. But then having to participate, what a sick mess it is. I'm sure some of you have read about and I flew on Delta, by the way, the Delta flight where somebody had like explosive diarrhea. And I'm sure you saw the article floating around where some lady had explosive diarrhea. Well, what's strange is now looking at the photos of this feces going down the aisle and so forth, it was pretty fascinating to look at. But I noticed there were screens in the back of the seat, so I knew it couldn't have been my flight. But my flight out of St. Louis was delayed for a couple of hours due to some laboratory problem with the chemicals or something in the laboratory getting down the aisle or leaking or something. So the back laboratory was closed for my flight out, and they said they had to rip the carpets up and all this strange stuff, and people were all looking at each other. Well, those of us that weren't heads buried in their phones. But some of the just, it was very, very weird to experience that, and then later read about another flight with some sort of biohazard. So I was like, I thought that was interesting. But just people watching and dealing with airport people and three different airports and all this, it's nice to get somewhere fast like that, you know, but to have to subject yourself to the humiliation. Now, on the way back, they wanted me to go through the barbecue scanner, and I opted out. And what was weird, I had a little, just, you know, some sort of hesitation where I thought I was, but, you know, they accepted it, you know, like normal business. And some guy molested me, basically, with the back of his hand, of course. Felt me up, you know, the whole nine yards, pat down. It was strange, but I wasn't going to go in through the scanner. So I subjected myself to the molestation and dealt with it. Now, since we're on the eve of the 9/11 22nd anniversary, I have a personal story that I had to jot down in my notes. One of the gentlemen, other guys in the wedding, lost his wife to cancer, I guess a couple of years ago. He's got a couple daughters. The wife passed away in her 40s, and, you know, mid-40s, I guess. Well, guess where she was on the morning of September 11th, 2001. She was in her apartment across the avenue from where the World Trade Center stood. So the doctors and so forth, and people he talked to, due to the dust, the pulverization of all that asbestos, they theorized that that's probably what caused her early death. So, you know, and I was listening to Yours Truly with Murr today. I happened to turn it on, and she covered a lot of the background stuff with 9/11 and Dr. Judy Wood, where the towers go, and all that stuff. And, you know, a lot of this stuff is being purged from areas of easy accessibility online. You know, I've got the book by Edward Hendry, 9/11 Enemies Foreign and Domestic, which I plug a lot due to the fact that it looks at the different, you know, competing theories about how the towers were brought down, the micro nukes in the basement. And that was a lot of the some of the guys at Veterans Today and others. And then you had the nanothermite, you know, with Christopher Boleyn and Dr. Stephen Jones. And then you had Dr. Judy Wood with the directed energy angle. And like I've said ad nauseum, for all of you that are regular listeners, it probably could have been a combination of two or three of those things. You had charges in the basement. You had thermite, you know. And I remember for those of you going way back, I even interviewed Rebecca Roth, where they were talking about things in various places in the building with the Israeli characters, art students, and all that stuff. And, you know, I mean, it really has, you really have to jog your memory to go back to all of the details. But, you know, thinking about Lahaina and Paradise and these other strange fires and all of that sort of thing, it really lets you know that, look, the possibility here, or the probability here, is very great that the directed energy angle, where did the towers go, which, you know, people were arguing about back in the day. You know, I was, you know, Pete Santilli was really pushing that book earlier on after 9/11, and, you know, other people. And then there's all these fights that arose, and most likely agents embedded throughout these kind of research communities, starting fights and all that sort of stuff. Very, very fascinating, you know. And that kind of that boils over into some of the stuff that we're seeing in Florida with some of these so-called neo-Nazi groups, embedded possible agents and so forth and so on, sheep dip type people and all of this stuff. But yeah, air travel is, I really, you know, plus this whole thing with shedding. Now, where are we at here? Mr. Producer, get clip five ready. This is Dr. Merrick. And I was thinking about this because I got sick. You know, remember the last time I was in the air 2 weeks ago? No, was it 2 weeks ago? Yeah. Well, the week before, I was sick. Then I was on the air before I went out of town, I believe. I can't even remember. Let me see the last time I was on the air. 8:27. Okay, so 8:27 I was on the air. That's right. And then 8:20 murdered my show because I was starting to get a cough. And I'll tell you what, I was, even after I did that show, before I was leading up to going out of town, I was still had this phlegm and buildup in my lungs. So let's listen to a little bit of clip five here.
No question that shedding is a real thing. So what we do know, and this may be horrific, is that, you know, autopsy series have shown that the amount of spike protein after vaccination in spermatozoa is truly astonishing. So that vaccinated men that have sex with their partner who are unvaccinated can transfer spike protein. And we know of women who've had relations with their partner and have developed symptoms of spike disease. So that can happen, and it does happen. The other way is that people who recently vaccinated exhale what are called exosomes, and these exosomes are like lipid nanoparticles with spike protein. So that if you are in close contact, and this doesn't have to be close physical, it doesn't have to be, you know, intimate contact, it can be, you know, reasonable proximity to someone who's recently been vaccinated, you can inhale these exosomes and be spiked. So this is a real phenomenon. Unfortunately, nobody wants to study it or publish data on it. So, you know, most of the cases we know about are anecdotal, but that does happen.
All right, I'm going to stop it there. And, you know, if any of you guys listen to Rents at times, he's very, when he has this Erica Khan lady on with him all the time, he's very, you know, pushes this angle very hardcore. And unfortunately, due to my daily routine, I am in close proximity with people that have been vaxxed. Now, what sucks is those of us that have to be in close proximity to these normies, and guess what? Do you think any of these flu shots, folks, that are coming our way are not full of who knows what kind of, you know, download system, operating system? But think about this air travel. You're up there in this metal tube, close proximity to all these people. And there's people still wearing cloth masks and surgical masks to ride the planes, thinking that somehow it's going to protect them. I mean, and you want to tell people, hey, man, have you done any research on a cloth or surgical mask at all? But it's hard for me to try to confront people in this day and age. I almost feel like it's not even worth the time, but it really just, it's disheartening. So, shedding, I'll tell you what, so I was exposed to something, and it was pretty, you know, a real drain on me. Now, unfortunately, we were so far out from the operation, like post, I almost lost some things in my mind to where I didn't get out a nebulizer. and nebulized with peroxide and a little bit of silver and a little bit of iodine, which I should have immediately. And so I'll never forget to do that again, because that's the key, I think. And I kick myself now for not nebulizing when I started feeling sick. So hopefully I don't forget that ever again. And if you guys start feeling sick, I'm not recommending anything. I'm not a healthcare professional, but remember the nebulizer. So, you know, Elon Musk is so all over the place right now. I can't even keep up with all this stuff. I mean, he's going at it, ripping on the New Mexico governor. He's into it with the ADL. He's into it with the European Union over Twitter or X and censorship. He's into it over this Starlink stuff in Russia. It's mind-blowing. And, you know, what's strange is General Flynn, this is running around the kind of the circuit, that he is saying that Q is a CIA psychological operation. So Flynn from the DIA is now kind of throwing the Q stuff, let's say, under the bus, which that's pretty fascinating, allegedly. Cliff High, military will oversee the 2024 election. The cabal's days are numbered. This sort of stuff. You're seeing such a glut of different stuff floating around out here. You know, X-22 and these guys are saying that the military is going to run the 2024 election as well. That remember the cyber polygon stuff and all that, and cyber attack, Klaus Schwab bragging that there's going to be a cyber attack that makes COVID look, you know, cheesy or what have, you know. And so there's pictures of BRICS, monetary notes floating around online. It's very, very crazy. Let's get clip three ready, Sam. And this is Spiro, and he's talking about some things that were going on at this G20. Okay, so you'll see are the articles from, you know, Gateway Pundit and other people talking about Biden acting silly, like five or six articles. And then the agenda itself, okay, it's almost like they're using Biden as a way to deflect and demoralize at the same time. So Biden's running around, can't put a sentence together, while this agenda of the G20 seems to be really, really moving towards the CBDC, digital ID stuff. Let's go ahead and listen to clip three.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Spiro with breaking news. The G20 just officially announced they are launching a plan for a global framework for digital currencies and digital IDs. Watch.
Laying the building blocks for a globally coordinated and comprehensive policy and regulatory framework for crypto assets. The global push for clearer policies on crypto assets has gained momentum under the Indian presidency, and a global consensus is emerging on the same. The presidency will support the IMF and the FSB, and FSB is also setting the contours of the regulatory framework for a globally coordinated approach to crypto assets. So the presidency, with the support of IMF and the FSB, is setting these contours. The IMF and FSB synthesis paper, about which I've spoken to the media earlier, including a roadmap. On that, I just want to give my observation. This synthesis paper delves into how the policy and regulatory frameworks developed by the IMF and the FSB, alongside the other standard-setting bodies, will fit together and interact with each other. This paper is now available in the public domain for all of you all to see.
Now, crypto was initially portrayed as a way to decouple from the central banks and to provide a layer of anonymity, just like using cash, right? But that's not what this is at all. In fact, it's quite the opposite. This is about the rollout of central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs. Now, the central banks have been working on this for quite a long time, and they have been partnering with governments and private corporations to usher this in. It kind of sounds like fascism, right? But what does it mean? Well, we've already witnessed how the central banks have been using a debt-based system to essentially enslave entire nations, and soon they'll have the ability to monitor, regulate, and tax you into submission in every way imaginable. And before you know it, you'll be eating bugs and driving electric cars. Or at least that's their plan if they get their way. Another example, didn't get your latest booster shot? Sorry, your account's been restricted until you comply. And at this point, we can start to see how the climate lockdowns don't seem too far-fetched after all, because we are witnessing the foundation of the social credit system being rolled out right now before our eyes. And if this sounds extreme, it's because it is. Just like the lockdowns and mandates that we just went through were extreme. And this agenda will maximize compliance on the next go-around. Now, what the social engineers are rolling out is called a digital panopticon, or a digital prison. This is where the digital IDs come into play.
The third one, which I'd like to draw your attention to, is the financial inclusion and productivity gains through digital public infrastructure. India, as you all are aware, through the India Stack, became the first country to develop all three foundational DPIs, the digital identity, the real-time fast payment, and a platform to safely share personal data without compromising privacy. So embedded this concept in the G20 financial inclusion agenda by formulating G20 policy recommendations for advancing financial inclusion and productivity gains through digital public infrastructure.
The fact they're announcing it now means they're about ready to roll it out. And once we go down this road, I'm not sure we can come back. The G20 announcement also coincides with what I believe Elon Musk has planned for X, as they have recently announced they've obtained approval for payments, including cryptocurrencies, and will begin to collect users' biometric data and other personal information this month. Kind of sounds like compliance with the global digital ID agenda that was just announced at the G20, but that's just my opinion, right? Maybe, maybe not. I hate to say it, folks, but it looks like the conspiracy theorists were right again. We warned that the measures used during COVID-1984 would be used to erect a new and improved all-encompassing digital surveillance and police state, the likes of which humanity has never seen. And here it is. It's disguised as a solution, as progress, as inclusion, so no one's left behind. Because at the end of the day, we will all be slaves under this new system of control.
All right, go ahead and stop it there. Think about this, and a lot of these people from India and the government of India are at the forefront. Now, China is, they've got their thing going on, and you know India and China don't play well, but India seems to be really taking a big kind of lead doing this to their citizens. Now, think about this, Kamala Harris. She's half Indian. You got Nikki Haley, Nimrata Wandawa, or the Republican. You've got Vivek Ramaswamy. You got all these people from India trying to jam into politics at the highest offices, for the highest office of the land. You know, Ramaswamy's been through some things, and people are finding out about this guy. And these are the type of people that will have no problem ushering in some sort of big brother system like this. It's unfortunate. Now, you know, you got Dinesh D'Souza. He's proven himself to be kind of a long-standing anti-authoritarian, but... Oh, and then you got Tulsi Gabbard as well. And she's also a Hindu. So very, very fascinating to see all these people moving into high-level politics in the United States. The Burning Man op. So somebody made a pretty good kind of hypothesis saying, you know, you got these 75,000 people out there, a lot of them at the forefront of tech and kind of steampunk. And, you know, you had people like Chris Rock out there, kind of, you know, let's just say on the fringes of a lot of different kind of futuristic thinkers, or I guess you could say, and this sort of thing, and then you blast them with this freaking storm and everything, and you leave them stranded for a little bit, and then you really kind of emphasize the quote unquote climate change mantra into their mind. You kind of solidify it by exposing them through some trauma based experience. Pretty interesting that this Burning Man thing went down the way it did. Now, some people, more like your orthodox kind of mainline Christian biblical thinkers, were saying, well, they're out there doing all this stuff with kind of crypto and overtly paganistic stuff and sexual debauchery and so forth, and this was some sort of a judgment from the Almighty on them. And it's hard to sometimes, and I talk about this quite a bit, it's hard to sometimes discern, is this the Lord moving on the earth to bringing us into judgment, or is this the fact that the plutocratic oligarchs have so much power over the weather now that they can do what they want and cause weather systems and weather phenomenon and crises and so forth? So it's fascinating to kind of watch. You've got this thing that happened in Morocco, this earthquake, and now you're seeing people throwing around footage and alleged eyewitness accounts of kind of strange lightning flash, lightning type flashes. And people are like saying, okay, is this like rod of God type stuff? Or, very, very fascinating. Now, some people are trying to throw around Chinese satellites with Lahaina. But I'm like, okay, if this was a Chinese, let's just say, for instance, this was a Chinese hit. You got these directed energy stations, bases here in Lahaina that belong to our military. But how can you explain the local cops corralling people in circles so they get burned alive? Are they acting in concert with the Chinese? I mean, that's a kind of a stretch. It looks more like a domestic operation by some very nefarious characters. All right, we'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Tehi Boti Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Public Broadcasting Network. I want to thank Blackbird 9 for doing my broadcast last week when I was out of town. Just a crazy experience. It's been so long since I've traveled, and it made me really realize how fragile our entire system is. And the saboteurs in our midst, I mean, we've got a bunch of mass-murdering psychopaths. This is this dichotomy that I hate. You hear all the crowd that says the military's going to freaking oversee the elections, whoop, whoop, woo. They're gonna military tribunals, all these Marxist traitors and, you know, pedophile scum and blah, 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 blah. And without the military, ain't no way 9/11 could have happened without their involvement. Ain't no way Lahaina could have happened. Ain't no way Waco could have happened if we had a real military commanders. They would have stopped it. All these operations that we've seen, this cascading sequence of dubious shootings and operations, weather warfare, and all this crap. And these are the same people. And look, you know, I'm a former military guy, but you have to realize the rot is in the military, too. And some of these people that never served are going to sit here and tell you that the military is going to come in and save the day. Well, let's say that on the surface, this does happen. don't you think that's just another layer of the PSYOP? That's what's unfortunate. Mr. Producer, get clip four ready. So this was on Edward Hendry's newsletter. The Lahaina fire patsy is not going quietly. They chose the power company to be the patsy for the immolation of Lahaina, but the electric company could not be at fault because it had shut off all power to the lines at about 9 a.m. And this is from a Zero Hedge article. They reveal an astounding fact that impeaches the Lahaina fire cover story. According to the cover story, the power company is to blame because they did not shut off power during the high winds and the down power lines caused the fire that immolated Lahaina. The Maui County government recently sued the Hawaiian Electric Company, alleging that the power company's negligence caused the alleged fires that destroyed Lahaina. Come to find out that the county government went off half-cocked without proper due diligence before filing the lawsuit. Turns out that downed electrical lines could not possibly have been the cause of the fire because the electric company had shut off all power to the lines on or about 9 a.m. on August 8th. The initial fire that was reported at 6:30 a.m. that day was reported to be wholly contained at about 9 a.m. by the Maui County Fire Department. It was only later, about 3 p.m., that the second alleged fire was reported, but at that time, no power had been put through the lines for 6 hours, thus down power lines could not be possibly been the cause, blah, 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 blah. The clowns at the Maui County government have no case against the power company. They chose the power company to be the patsy for the immolation of Lahaina, but their chosen patsy's not going quietly. Conspirators behind the directed energy attack on Lahaina are now caught with their pants down and have no alternative explanation for the Lahaina immolation. Some are calling it the Maui Massacre, by the way. Stay tuned. They are experts at plausible deniability. They will most certainly come up with some creative fictional explanation to cover up the genocide at Lahaina. So let's go ahead and play clip four. It's Catherine Austin Fitz.
Okay, let's keep it going at FedWatch and turn to Maui. We have a few. We actually have one story and two videos this week. Very interesting. We're going to look at these videos now.
Right. And how did the fire spread according to a very well-designed GIS redevelopment plan?
Yeah, I want to start, though, in the aftermath of the fires with this guy's video of it's a giveaway that there's a big problem here.
Right.
Because you can see there's a cover-up going on, and this is what this guy documents. Including, interestingly, there's a few things here. Let's just roll this video.
There seems to be a huge emphasis on ensuring that the media and anyone else can't see what's going on here in Lahaina, West Maui. There are miles and miles of this black fence going up that was not here before that is obscuring ground zero and making sure no one can see what's going on inside of there from the road. No one can get in there. No one can take any pictures. And then I've also seen these weird foreign police cars showing up, these special police, I'm not sure what to call them. This is a Nissan, but there's quite a large presence of these standing guard around the perimeter. We've also lost our ability to fly drones really anywhere near this area. Now, this 20-second clip here that I tried to get out of my car and show what was going on, I was almost immediately, after these 20 seconds, National Guard came, chased me off, yelled at me, told me to get back in my car and keep moving. So you cannot pull over. You can't even stop your car anywhere near any of this anymore.
So there you go. It's a big secret. Right. The whole thing's a big secret.
Fire's burned down. Right.
The whole thing's a big secret. Get out. So, okay. So there's a few parts,
pause
a few moving parts
second,
there.
The National Producer. Hey, the military, it's going to run our elections, these National Guard guys. Hey, get out of, get back in your vehicle. Don't try to keep it moving. See? You got the two big directed energy. You got Space Force directed energy over there on Maui. And you got these National Guard guys being ordered around probably by FEMA types. Unfortunately, folks, this whole military paradigm is gonna you know, patriots in the military are gonna save the republic. It's very, very. I'm very pessimistic on that angle, and I continue to be. And I don't like, you know, I'm just calling it like I see it. Go ahead, and continue the clip.
Okay, so there's a few moving parts there. The National Guard's involved. They're shooing away anybody who has any interest. They got black fences going up, keeping everybody out. And they shut down drones. And, oh, by the way, there's these weird foreign police cars everywhere.
Right.
come on. I mean, tell me this isn't a global redevelopment effort.
It's a redevelopment. This is, you know, we talked about it. We have, there's one video that Sasha Latipova is going to publish this week or next that goes through the whole, all the GIS map and shows exactly how the plan worked. And if you look at parcel after parcel where you have complete ash in one property, you know, plot, and literally in the next property plot, you have a hotel, and right along the property line on one side, there's no blade of grass touched.
Right, right.
It's perfect.
That's actually what she's going to show is an entire map of that. But to show what you're talking about with this clearly delineated lines of what's supposedly a natural fire, that's our next video. Let me roll this. This is a really interesting video. If you don't know what's going on in Lahaina and Maui, watch this video. Let's take a look at this. Again, this is a like on the ground reporting.
So we're right below Lahaina Luna High School in the neighborhood that did not burn. You can see all these houses are standing around here, unburned.
Can you hear that?
There's no burn here, okay? So to me, this is like something out of a space movie, because you have this small field with some grass that burned, right? You can see where the grass burned. But then you have these two vehicles sitting in here that have melted aluminum. So Donovan, if you want to just take us through this car real quick and show us, I know you know a few things about cars, you can point out some things that require a very high temperature. By the way, we just talked to the neighbor who was talking to an investigator in Lahaina Town yesterday, and he said the investigator told him the temperature's reached in excess of 3,000 degrees. So tell us what you got, Donovan.
Well, we have about 300 degrees for aluminum, and this
300?
1300.
Okay, thank you.
1300. Well, 1220, but if you round it up, because it was not only melted, it was liquefied to the point where it became a river of aluminum going down the dirt hill.
So this is the aluminum rim, obviously. There's the tire, what's left of it, the steel thread.
Yeah, so there
so
you go.
So it's enough degrees to melt metal, which is not a natural fire.
Right.
But it doesn't touch the house next door.
Right.
Now, this is why I tell everybody you have to please have all your documents archived and in multiple locations, because the people who will get their money from Maui are the people who have a copy of their insurance documents elsewhere and can come back up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the reasons they're cutting them off from all sorts of services and help is so they can't come back.
All right. You can stop it. You know, this kind of thing gets one of us, just like a normal human being, just so angered. Also, you get this feeling of helplessness against this juggernaut, this junta that runs our country. Just insane. So Todd Callender, who I played on the broadcast numerous times, the Marburg Plandemic will be released in October, zombie apocalypse to follow. Marburg is baked into the shots and will be activated by 3 1-minute pulse waves at 18 gigahertz, the number 18, interesting, from the 5G towers all over the country. Government has been preparing this for this years now, will be released October 2023. You know, Tucker Carlson's releasing cryptic messages about you got 1 week and something big's coming. I mean, some strange stuff. Hijacker sent me 9/11/2023=18. That's tomorrow. Of course, a couple weeks ago, I was on the air talking about the number 923 and the massive predictive programming in all these different movies and shows and commercials, you name it, and just so much of that's been scrubbed off of YouTube, entire channels that covered that sort of stuff, gone. That was huge probably back about 2015, you know, 2014, 2015. I used to cover that stuff. So we'll see. You don't know what's going to happen around here. Canada faces arson charges from multiple wildfires. Quebec provincial police arrested a 37-year-old man who allegedly is connected to multiple forest fires. Brian Pare, P A R E with the little hashtag over the E, faces two counts of arson for allegedly setting fire to a fishing cabin on May 31st in the forest in the area between July 8th and September 5th. According to reports, the months-long fires to the forest occurred near a town roughly 700 kilometers north of Montreal. The fires have reportedly devastated Quebec all summer. So if he's convicted, maximum sentence of 14 years in prison, yeah, Joe Biggs gets 17 years for the J6 stuff. He will remain in custody until his court date on Monday, September 11th. Okay, so a lot of people talked about how a lot of this stuff is arsonist, you know. And then in Greece, 80 arsonist scum arrested over, you know, fires. Another island on fire to be a smart island in Tenerife, in Spain's Canary Islands. You know, it's just, we're seeing this phenomena all over the world, and then are these people patsies of some sort, or are they going to disappear in the system, and when everybody quits paying attention, they'll get them out and get them facelift or whatever. You know, it's hard to really, you know, gauge how this stuff is really going. So let's see here. Now, Sam, get clip two ready. James Giordano. Now, I've talked about this guy for months. This guy at Georgetown, this big DARPA scientist, military applications guy, obvious Jesuit tool. Alex Jones, over the last week, really picked some of his stuff out, and somebody gave this stuff to Alex Jones, and he was really pushing it. Now, so this is one of John Bounds' videos, but it's going to get into Giordano and some of the stuff. And I've covered a bunch of the stuff that he was giving in these lectures in front of troops and so forth. I mean, the creepiest stuff you'll ever hear. Go ahead and play clip two.
When the Pentagon was approached by Bill Gates and the EcoHealth Alliance, they wanted to release protein crystals in China. And the Pentagon said, here's one telegraph, that's a bio attack. That could lead to nuclear war. We're not going to do that. Well, that now takes us to Dr. Giordano, who's the head neuroscientist at Georgetown at the top Pentagon Air Force DARPA meeting.
Some ongoing studies with our colleagues in the medical branches of NATO have in fact shown that the use of nanoparticulate matter in a scatter arrangement can be used to incur what looks to be broad-scale epidemiological stroke epidemics. So what we're able to do here is infiltrate the brain space with nanoparticulate matter that aggregates in situ, on site in the brain. And there's one of two things, either penetrates from the vascular space, gets in through the bloodstream, gets in through the nose, through the mucosa, or infiltrates the vascular space and clogs it. What is the result? What's called a nanoparticulate stroke or a hemorrhagic diathesis, fancy word, for it's a predisposition to individuals having brain bleeds. Demonstrated? Oh, absolutely. We're able to show animal models of same, and the Italian group has done a fair amount of work demonstrating that nanoparticulate matter can be highly disruptive, not only of brain vascularity, but brain function. You may not necessarily incur a stroke, but you're going to begin to disrupt the network properties of the brain, and as a result, engage something more of a long war's effect through the use of these types of matters, where you now begin to influence the population in increasingly concentric circles of expansion.
Oh, did you hear next month the new COVID variant vaccine's ready? It's a new nasal spray. You just talked about nasally, which gives you a thing that grows protein crystals, then you spread. Isn't that loving and liberal?
We are following some breaking medical news for you. Researchers at Dartmouth-Hitchcock Medical Center are working to develop the first nasal spray vaccine for COVID-19. The spray does not need to be administered by a medical professional and does not require refrigeration. Clinical trials are now planned for the U.S. and Africa.
Nothing I'm telling you here is sci-fi. It all exists within the medical range, and how we're able to treat a variety of neurological disorders targeting the brain, being able to get in there more specifically, affect certain neural cancers, etc. And we spoke earlier about a technique that's become very well known, CRISPR-Cas9, that allows us to literally modify bugs in a variety of different ways. So I now may be able to take a relatively harmless microbiological agent, a bacterium or a virus, do some gene editing and make this thing far more morbidly viable, make it far more virulent, and in some cases even make it far more lethal.
Gene editing, gain of function, illegal as hell. He talks in these conferences about, we've been very discreet about the things that we're not supposed to be doing, but we've done them. Now, you think Al-Qaeda's got a gene editor machine that costs $3 billion? No. And there's one of their main directors. He goes on and on and on. 2017. Now we've dug up his latest talks. Oh, they're even worse.
What we're looking at is the use of drones, for example, unmanned vehicles, aerial vehicles, ground vehicles, aquatic vehicles, to deliver payloads of various forms of neurological chemicals, neurological microbes, whether those be bacteria and or viruses, neurological toxins, to a variety of different populations that range from the individual to a fairly large aggregate of individuals utilizing multiple drones and or other forms of unmanned vehicles.
And they say, oh, the Pentagon's got to war game all this to know how to stop it. Yeah, they got to have the bioweapon labs to produce 5 billion years of evolution virus, that of five viruses that no one would ever put together, not in a trillion years, and then that very virus gets released. But it's all in the name of protecting us.
The relative ease of acquisition of these techniques and the relative ease of use, again, this is not for the completely naive, but someone with basic gene editing and or microbiological skills and molecular biological skills could, in fact, utilize these techniques to modify an existing microbe, an existing virus, perhaps even existing structures of various organisms, to create something that is modified or perhaps anew. And the problem we have with that is that those particular new entities might not currently be covered, categorized by the Biological Toxins and Weapons Convention. So here we have the opportunity to sidestep the scope and tenor of those conventions by creating something new or modifying that heretofore has not been listed as a weaponizable agent.
Oh, none of this is illegal because it's not in the law, so we can do it. Total madness, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, so I'll stop it there. That's Jesuitical thinking. If you just type that into your browser and do... I mean, wow. I mean, when you dig into a lot of the CIA directors, a lot of the generals, a lot of guys like Giordano, if they're not under Jewish control, they're under Jesuit control. And if you really look at the real tip of this thing, there's some sort of a... detente, a power sharing agreement. You know, you got the Rothschilds, the keepers of the papal treasury, you got this Jewish Jesuit, you know, Klaus Schwab's background, you know, some of these traditionalist Catholics that have dug into Klaus Schwab's relationship with certain Jesuits. It's very, very crazy. Stephen Greer, which I'm going to try to play these next week, but where he's talking about in Above Top Secret, or maybe it was Above Majestic, one of those two movies have been out for a little bit, but where he talks about certain Jesuit priests involved with secret space program and all this stuff, all this slush funds of money. I mean, do you think they're really giving Zelensky all these billions of dollars? Do you really think they're giving that little guy that money? I've been thinking about this, and there's probably so many different tributaries where this money's going. But I don't think Zelensky is getting much of it. His overseers, they're getting it, okay? Probably in Tel Aviv, who knows where else. You know, it's just such a such a mess of a world, and the acceleration of the agenda is getting to the point where people are really starting to crack up. And it's just as a guy that does a 2-hour broadcast on a Sunday night, trying to just keep your kind of fingers on the pulse is enough to really try my soul. And there's, you got to believe me, there's times where I'm like, you know what? Do I even want to continue doing this behind the mic? Is it doing anything? Is there some sort of benevolent, end game to all of us doing this? Or are we just spinning our wheels and the people are so zombified and mentally torched around us? It's hard to say. You know, you got Trump at Iowa State, Iowa game, and all these people, you know, Biden getting treated like a buffoon overseas. You know, you're wondering, it's like, what the hell? All these indictments on Trump. It's just the optics here are so brutal. We'll see you guys on the other side.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.